Welcome to the Pongcast, keeping you in the loop. Whoa, okay, wait 1 minute before we go on with the typical intro. I actually already finished recording and editing this episode. It's already up, actually, and I'm going to probably put up this newer version as soon as I finish. What happened is, Mina and Sarah were gracious enough to give me an opportunity to watch the short format documentary of Topspin that they already completed, and it was great. What can I say? I was so impressed by it. I don't think I can say enough about it. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm so impressed, and it follows Ariel Singh, and maybe it's partially because I can relate a tiny bit. So I was a serious junior for just a very short time, nowhere near on Ariel's level, but if you are able to watch this, and I hope everyone will eventually get to see the short, not to mention the feature length that they're working on right now. But you'll come away rooting for Ariel, you'll be rooting for his sport table tennis, and rooting for Amina and Sarah to make this movie come to fruition and bring it to the masses and share the sport and Ariel's experiences, and also in the future Michael's experiences in table tennis with everybody. And whether you're a table tennis fan or not, I think everyone will really, really enjoy this one. Okay, I just had to throw my thoughts in there, and we'll go on with the rest of the episode. For all things table tennis.
That is unbelievable.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Pongcast. If you're listening to this pretty soon after its release, you'll notice this is right on the heels of the last episode, which was part two of an interview with Brian Pace. And so I was in a hurry to get this episode out because I finally got to talk to Mina T's son and Sarah Nguyens. They are the filmmakers behind an upcoming documentary called Topspin. And it's a documentary about table tennis, of course. And more specifically, they're following Ariel Singh and Michael Landers through their training, what they go through in their regular lives, and their travels overseas, all in trying to achieve the goal of making the Olympic team in 2012. So I was specifically in a hurry because they've set up a webpage where they're trying to raise money to make this film, and the deadline is almost up. It's July 20th. So only a few days left, so I wanted to get this out as soon as possible and help spread the word. And especially, I think it deserves the support of the table tennis community because it's such a common discussion of how to make the sport more popular, how to get more people to take it seriously as a sport who maybe don't realize that it can be really competitive, and then just how to get more players involved from anywhere from a casual to more competitive level. So I think this documentary is a great way to help answer all those questions, to show a huge side of table tennis that most people don't realize exists, and help spread the word about the sport. So, like I said, they have until July 20th to raise money. So I encourage you to check out that website. You can go over to Kickstarter.com and just do a search for Topspin, and it should take you right to their page. Or otherwise, also have a direct link to their page in the show notes. And there's also an official website for the movie at topspinmovie.com. And they've got, I guess you could say, some clips there from the Kickstarter and also on the official website. And so you can get a taste of what's to come. And I'm really excited about it, seeing those clips. I've never seen table tennis presented in a light like this. And I think it's a great way to draw in people who aren't familiar with table tennis. So, again, check it out. And, you know, you can get bragging rights that you help personally fund a movie. You can also, depending on how much money you donate there, you can also get some cool gifts. And it helps promote table tennis. So it's a win-win for everybody. And just a quick note before I go any further. You may notice that incredibly loud hum in the background. That's the fan for my computer that's been kicking on a lot more than I like. Apparently, it uses a fan from a fighter jet, and it's just incredibly loud and annoying. So I apologize about that. Usually, I use the software to remove noise, and sometimes it's just too harsh, and you can barely understand the original recording. So I didn't do it this time. And I've been going to the stores, buying mics left and right, and still haven't found a really good solution. Still working at it. And again, I apologize for the quality of this one. But enough about that. I hope you'll bear with it. I've got a great interview coming up. Go to the news first, and then we'll hear all about Top Spin with Mina and Sarah. The Japan Open just recently concluded. In the men's finals, Jun Mizutani, Japan's number one player, and most popular player, of course. He was the number one seed. He lost in the finals 4-1 to Seiya Keshikawa. He was the fifth seed, so a mild upset there. Jun Mizutani was the runner-up last year to T-Mobile, and once again runner-up this year, so I'm sure a little bit disappointing coming very close, but falling short 2 years in a row in his homeland. And while there were not a lot of top-tier European or Chinese players in attendance, there were some really impressive younger Chinese players and Japanese players who represented, and it looked like there were a lot of entertaining matches. I also read that the commentary for some matches that were streamed on the ITTF website were really good, so you might want to check that out. In the women's finals, Fang Tianwei, the number one seed from Singapore, beat Ai Fukuhara, the third seed, 4-0. Rather convincing win there. And if you recall, Fang Tianwei was the runner-up in the recent China Open. She also had two wins, leading her team to victory in the China vs. World Challenge, and also won the Korean Open. So she's been on quite a run there, doing really well in recent events. Also in Chinese Super League results, I'm going to keep it brief this time. Of course, the Chinese Super League results this time, most of the time, are courtesy of TableTennisTa.com. I just realized that's how to pronounce it, because there's an interview with the owner from TableTennisTa over at PrimetimePingPong.com with Jackson Main. And of course, Jackson, who's co-host, did some previous episodes with me. So a good interview there. Also, and like I said, TableTennisTa, a great resource for Chinese Super League results and all other kinds of table tennis news. So most notably, a lot of people are probably interested in how teammates Ma Lin and Timo Boll are doing. Their team, Jay Jiang, beat Ma Long's team, Ningbo, 3-0. And that included Timo Boll beating Huang Jiangjun, 3-2, and Ma Lin beating Ma Long, 3-1. And like I've said in previous episodes, Ma Lin on quite a roll, doing really well in the Super League. Also, China Open, he's been beating all the top players. Really impressive. A lot of people were writing him off, and he's shown he's still got it. So, well done by Ma Lin. And that was Jay Zhang's fifth win in a row. So, the Ma Lin and Timo Boll teaming up looks like a great match. And if you are in the United States, and you listened to maybe my first episode, that was with Willie Leporullo. He is the president of the NCTTA. That's the National Collegiate Table Tennis Association, overseeing collegiate table tennis. And they're looking for regional directors. And this is in part to their restructuring, and they've had a lot of growth. A lot of schools have been joining in recent years. So in part of their restructuring, looking for regional directors. So if you're interested, you can go check out the webpage there. I'll have it linked in the notes. Also, just head on over to ntta.org and get more details there. And another organization trying to fill position, well, technically, I guess, more of a contest, that's the ITTDF. And so if you've ever seen their streaming matches live, they have commentators, and like I said, a lot of people seem to be impressed with the commentating on the Japanese Open. But maybe you've seen it and you've thought, well, I could do better than that. Well, here's your chance to prove it. They're having a contest, and what they did is they put up a clip of the men's finals and you're supposed to record yourself commentating on that match. That's the men's finals from the World Championships. So you record yourself, you send that into to the website. Email it to certain people, all the details on the ITTF website. And they'll pick out a winner. And they'll actually get all expenses paid to the World Cup in Paris. And you will be able to commentate there live as it happens. So, pretty cool prize there. And so you can also get the details at ITTF. Put a direct link to the info about that on the website. All right, so that concludes the news, and let's get to talk to Mina and Sarah, and hopefully we can all help support the movie Top Spin. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. I have Mina T. Sun, that's correct, and yes, Sarah Nguyen's. Did I get those names right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So you're working on the feature length documentary called Top Spin, and there's so much I want to know about this, and I think it's so great for the sport. But maybe we can start with a little background of how you two got into filmmaking and video, and what led you to this point?
Sure. I'll start. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Mina. And so let's see. I didn't really study filmmaking in college at all. I studied psychology and Asian American studies. And then after graduating, I traveled a little bit and actually had to come home because my mom got sick. And it was during that time that I was able to just kind of try out some other kind of creative opportunities. And so I made my first short documentary about my experience taking care of my mom. And that kind of led to another fellowship where I was able to make a second documentary. And with those two, I was able to apply to the MFA documentary program at Stanford. And I guess throughout the whole experience, I just thought to myself, well, let's see how far I can take this documentary route. And really, that's kind of where, you know, how I got to this point, and we're just trying to see like how much further we can go, I guess.
So that's you just jumped into documentary filmmaking with no prior experience.
No, none really, actually. When I started getting interested in it, I took this digital documentary course at a local community center, and it was actually for high school students, and I was 24 at the time. Mm-hmm. And, but it was $50. And so I called them up and then I asked, you know, would it be okay? I kind of explained to them my situation and they were like, yeah, that's fine. As long as you don't mind working with some high school students. And it was actually an amazing, opportunity just to learn about digital storytelling and, getting to know a bunch of other really cool kids. So that's kind of how I just jumped into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. I know that you're, getting into something I guess you're passionate about and no experience. So that's really, that's great. And how about yourself, Sarah?
Well, I sort of was studying film and I got a degree in mass communication from Miami University and just was always kind of interested in making films and whatnot, and fell into television and worked at CBS News in New York City in the local news division after college. And, you know, it was pretty exciting industry to be in right out of school when I was young. And I spent quite a bit of time there, like almost 7 years, and sort of slowly grew tired of the lack of creativity in that world. And, a friend of mine runs these workshops, these like 2 and 4 week filmmaking workshops. all over the world, actually, but he is from Mississippi, and he was doing this 4-week film workshop in Mississippi, and he was like, oh, why don't you come down, and, you know, you can just play around with the equipment and make a film. And I thought it sounded really exciting, because I had been working as an editor for a while, but I never really shot that much, and never really got to craft a story that was longer than, like, you know, 2.5 minutes. So I went down there and just had this really intensive hands-on filmmaking experience, and made my first short documentary. And, you know, it was just absolutely life-changing. I just completely fell in love with it. And then from there, you know, it took a while, it took a few more years, but I knew I finally figured out what I wanted to go to grad school for, and then started on the hunt for a program. And, you know, luckily found there was this amazing program at Stanford.
And that's great too, that you were able to, I guess this is essentially kind of like working for yourself. You've been working for other people, and now you can fulfill mm-hmm. your own goals and express yourself. So, yeah. So how did you two team up then? And how did you two meet?
Well, we met in the program at Stanford. And we actually are required to co-direct a film in the program. And it's a 2-year program, and we make 4 shorts over the period of 2 years. But one project must be co-directed. And so we teamed up for this film we wanted to make about. We had read an article in the New York Times about Ariel Xing, a young, you know, up-and-coming table tennis champion. So we set out to make this short.
That was, I guess, we started January of 2010. So that's when it all really happened.
Mm-hmm. And your experience with table tennis before that article, did you have any, what was your thoughts on table tennis? I mean, did you play at all? What was your perception of the sport at that time?
No, I didn't play at all. I know my parents are from Korea, so they had a little bit of background in it. And I think my mom has some moves, but but I never really played. And we just thought, I guess there was just something really interesting about the article, that it was specifically talking about the Bay Area being this real hotbed of up and coming, you know, youth and table tennis, and Ariel was featured in it, and it sounded so intense and so incredible. So I think we were really intrigued by this world that neither of us really were very familiar with.
But I think we connected immediately on just being sports fans in general. Like, I think that was one of the things we had in common. We were exploring ideas for, you know, film topics, just because, I mean, you know, it's one of those sports that most people have played in their lifetime growing up, but certainly not, I mean, competitively. It was so eye-opening and so exciting to see this competitive world.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have to admit, I'm a little surprised that anyone would pick it. I mean, I don't blame you if there are other people who have this perception that it's not much beyond, you know, playing your basement as a recreational sport, maybe with like a sandwich in one hand and paddle in the other. So, did you think there was enough there? And I'm just really surprised you picked it up, that you took it seriously, I guess.
Well, I think when we were thinking about a couple other film ideas at the time. And the other one we were pursuing actually ended up being Sarah's latest film, or most recent film. But it was quite serious. And I think we both wanted to have fun. And we thought, well, you know, everyone has fun playing table tennis. So we thought it'd be worth our while just exploring it further. We had absolutely no idea what to expect. But we just thought, well, hey, it'd be fun. Mm. At least.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's how you, picked up on Ariel, and then you also eventually decided to Phil Michael too. And well, first of all, you started with a short film. I would say maybe my Google skills aren't too good, but is there anywhere people can watch the short that you did? The original Top Spin, or I guess?
Well, not just yet. We've had a lot of success with our film screening at festivals all over the country, and
there's actually two coming up. So I guess it's a little limiting, but for anyone near Traverse City, Michigan, and in New York City, people can have an opportunity to watch it at the Michael Moore Traverse City Film Festival on July. What day is it?
30th.
On July 30th. And then there's going to be another screening at the Asian American International Film Festival in August, August 14th. So those are two kind of immediate chances to watch it in a theater, which is a treat. So those are two opportunities. And we don't have it readily available online at the moment. I don't know, but we're focusing more on the feature right now. So we're using the short as a way to kind of let funders know, like, what, you know, what kind of film we're set on making, and to show, like, you know, our style and the kind of access we've had with Ariel. But I don't know, we might make it available at some point. For those backers who've donated on our Kickstarter, they'll have the chance to get a digital download of it. That's for sure.
Okay. And before we get to that, the Kickstarter, of course, we should have everybody check that out. That's been very successful. But when you first started the short, I mean, did you ever imagine that you want to pursue this as a feature film? What led you to make this decision to take it further?
Well, I think it was, it wasn't until after we completed the short and the response that we were getting from festival directors and people who are attending our screenings, you know, that we started to realize the interest and also how much the table tennis community here in the Bay Area embraced us and seemed really excited. And, you know, the more we learned about the sport and the more we started to see that it was, you know, underrepresented and that it was sort of seemed like the right time for more exposure.
Yeah, I think it was something that Stefan Feth, who is one of Ariel's coaches and is also the current U.S. men's team head coach. It was an interview that we did with him that actually didn't make it into the short film, but I think he really opened our eyes to what he and players like Ariel and Michael Landers, I think, are trying to achieve. And they're really trying to promote the sport on a large level. So to create, you know, with the hopes of creating like a little league for table tennis so that it's as popular as soccer or baseball, and to reach the level of popularity that table tennis holds in countries like Germany or Sweden and Korea and China. And I think that was maybe even, you know, even before the film was completed, I think it was that was the first inkling that we thought, oh, wow, this is, you know, this isn't just some quirky sport that a couple people are into. It really has the potential to do something on a very large scale. And so I think that was maybe the seed. And then with the success of the film, with the success, you know, Ariel was just getting so, you know, she was just racking up the accolades. And so I think it was a confluence of all these wonderful things happening that we thought, well, here's a really great opportunity for all of us and for the sport and for us. And we just decided to run with it.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. Like you said, Ariel's been doing, she's been so successful and doing, seems like she's been doing a lot of interviews for mainstream interviews. And then, like, for example, the spin table tennis clubs that have been popping up, like students are in and trying to promote it. It's more of a trendy thing. And I've seen articles about people trying to promote it in England as also kind of a more hip kind of hangout thing to do.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we've partnered with YOLA USA, who's Ariel's sponsor. And, you know, they're kind of it's been great working with them because they really want the same thing that we're hoping our film can do. And it's this idea of promoting the sport on a really large level, like on this, you know, on this huge level where everybody, you know, has a chance to play it in some way, either at a club or at a park or, you know, it was really exciting to see that Concrete Tables were or that they're planning to build like several of them all throughout cities in New York City. And we think that's great because it is such an accessible sport that really anyone can play regardless of gender and age and all those things.
Right, yeah, and that's what we want to draw in, all those casual players. And I'm really pleased to hear it sounds like you two are kind of have the same perception that all of us table tennis players have, even though do you play now? Do you play at all a little bit? Have you picked up a paddle?
A little bit since starting the short. I've been definitely more interested to play it recreationally, but, you know, not, I mean,
not on the level of Ariel or Michael. That's for sure. But we, you know, in the Bay Area, we know where all the clubs are. Yeah. So we've definitely been talking about wanting to go and get our workout on, and because it's an incredible workout. It's so great.
Yeah. You know, somebody's got to hold the camera. So, So, it's cool though. Now, I mean, that's the one thing I love about you two doing this is that we want to show the public about the sport, and it's hard to maybe get it on TV just showing tournaments and the Opens and stuff, but through documentary format, you can show truly like the hard work that goes into it, just like any other thing you work at, including any other sport, you're following these two players. So I saw, like, for example, the brief clip you have on your website. You have a clip of Ariel at home. So are you also doing footage, kind of their daily life, off the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really interested to explore, you know, all aspects of their lifestyle, you know, and really show the dimensions to who these young people are, because, you know, aside from being these young champions, they're just really ambitious and really talented, you know, multi-talented and really sweet, you know, people who we just have really come to care about, you know, who they are as people and how they're, where their, you know, future is going in the sport and, you know, off outside of the sport as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other thing that, you know, you can show the sport to the public, but also tell a compelling story. So was there anything that surprised you? Well, let's get to, you mentioned that you had some recent shoots, and I know you've been really busy. So what examples, what recent shoots were you doing lately?
Well, a couple weeks ago, we filmed again with Ariel, coaching at the World Champions Table Tennis Center, Table Tennis Academy. I hope I got that right. But that's with Stefan Feth, and it's in San Jose. So they had their pretty intense summer training camps. So we caught the tail end of that, and it was a lot of fun to kind of see Ariel. It had been a while since we had filmed with Ariel, so it was nice to get back into the swing of things and see her, just how intense she was training, and that she really hadn't let up at all. So that was fun. And then last week we had a couple shoots. As you guys probably already know, it's this year marks the 40th anniversary of Ping Pong Diplomacy. Mm-hmm. So there have been several events, I think, you know, some at the U.S. Open, and then the delegation, both the U.S. and the Chinese delegation came here to the Bay Area. And so the Chinese consulate and the mayor's office hosted this really nice reception where Ariel did a little bit of an exhibition with several of the other players from China and from the U.S. And then there was the big kind of exhibition match here at Stanford, where Ariel rallied against Zhang Yining and, you know, several of the other players, again, kind of put on this big show. And so it was great. It was great to see. Ariel had a lot of, she did like a local news interview with NBC, and there was a lot of kind of media around those events overall. So it was a fun thing to capture and to kind of be a part of. I mean, a real historic occasion as well. Everyone kind of knows the basic story of ping pong diplomacy, but, you know, to see these people 40 years later, and then to kind of see both, you know, countries, the U.S. and China, coming together, you know, under much very different circumstances. It was an interesting experience and a real treat for us.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was pretty amazing that they got the same players to match up 40 years later, you know, and they, you'd tell they just had a lot of fun with it. And it was this really, it was just a very cool arena to see, you know, this ping pong match going on in the Naples Pavilion on Stanford campus. And a lot of people came out and were, you know.
And the original members of the ping pong diplomacy teams, I mean, they still got it.
Yeah.
Like, they were incredible.
They were amazing.
And people were just like floored. It was, they put on this great show, and, you know, I mean, they're athletes first and foremost, but it was very entertaining to watch.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of that in the film. So over the course of all this filming, was there anything that really took you by surprise? Maybe when you first start getting into it, things that you didn't realize, maybe just the sport or just about their lives in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think just the amount of time and dedication it takes to play at the level that Ariel plays at. And, a lot of these young players, or just any of the top players, you know, they have to work so hard. And I think, you know, we were surprised by that in a way. And we thought a lot of other people would be too. And it's part of what generates, you know, I think interest in watching them develop is because you know how hard they're working at it. And people have commented on, you know, I've repeatedly heard people comment on our short when there's a scene where Ariel and Stefan is coaching Ariel. And she's like dripping with sweat, you know, at the end, and people are going, "Oh my God, wow!" Like, she's really working hard, and so that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's a great, great thing to show. Like I said, show people how much training goes into it, just like any other sport. And I noticed, was Michael in your initial short?
So no, Michael, our short is only 12 minutes, and it being a short, you know, we decided to focus on just one character. And since we were here in the Bay Area, it was really nice for us to have someone like Ariel who was close by. And so we were able to really get to know them. And when we decided to expand the short into a feature, we thought we had heard about Michael actually while we were first filming with Ariel. I mean, I think the junior table tennis circuit here in the U.S., probably all throughout the world, is pretty, you know, small. And it's like they're a close-knit community. I think they all know all the other players, definitely around the country and kind of around the world. So we'd heard about Michael, and it was really interesting because we had heard about his story being at that time, when we started filming, Michael had just won the U.S. Men's National Championship. And so we had heard about, you know, how incredible of a feat that was, that he was only 15 at the time. So we knew of him. And then when we, you know, decided to pursue it, to pursue this further, we thought, oh, well, you know, wouldn't it be great to have Michael on board as well? And this is after Ariel had then become the youngest national women's champion. Although that title may be to someone else, we had heard, or we read somewhere that, there was another 13-year-old, maybe U.S. singles champion, or a U.S. Open champion, and she may be considered by some the youngest ever national champion. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's so long ago.
Okay, yeah. So it was interesting to see that they had so many parallels, but also are two very different individuals, and so. We reached out to Michael and his mother, and they were really enthusiastic about it. And I mean, the interesting thing is we have just started filming again for the feature, and so we have yet to meet Michael in person. Some of you may have seen on our Kickstarter, on one of our updates, we had our friend David Alvarado film like a half-day shoot with Michael. And so, you know, we were dying to really kind of see more of Michael, and I know a lot of people are too. So there's a little bit of an update with Michael there, a recent shoot last week. But you know, now that we've reached our goal with Kickstarter, we're hoping to follow Michael to China because he'll be training there. He'll actually leave in a couple days, so we'll definitely have more to film with him.
Oh well, so you're gonna get your bags packed and head off pretty soon.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
And how long is that shoot planned for right now?
We're still sort of organizing the whole thing. But we're really interested to see the kind of training that goes on. Because Michael has been there before and trained in is it the same center in Wuhan that he's been to?
Mm-hmm. I think he's been to this one.
So he's been there before. He really loves the training there, and so we're gonna, you know, maybe spend a few days following him.
Mm-hmm. And have you two been to China before, by any chance?
No, we haven't. So mm-hmm. We're pretty excited.
Yeah,
I'm very jealous of you too. That's great, especially if you're into table tennis and going there. So, what better place to go to? So.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. We just, I mean, yeah, there's nothing I don't think really compares to China in terms of the sport. So we're pretty psyched.
And that's an interesting choice. I mean, following Ariel, I think that would already be enough. And a very interesting story. But yeah, picking out Michael too, you have a male and a female, and Ariel's popular, and especially representing the West Coast, like, I guess you could say, and Michael on the East Coast, so you're getting it from all angles, especially if these are two upcoming young stars in table tennis. So what are the logistics of filming? I mean, you two, are you doing the brunt of the work? I mean, are you doing everything from holding the camera to editing? How does that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of our training at Stanford was that we you know, to walk in, you know, do each role. You know, we have to direct and produce and edit and shoot and, you know, really develop all these skills simultaneously. And so, you know, I mean, taking on a feature is definitely a much bigger endeavor, but we're hoping to continue developing our skills in those areas and then also, you know, expand our team. And we have really great people that are also contributing in, as consulting producers and, you know, just getting an opportunity to work with a really experienced DP in the future, if we get enough fundraising. I mean, there's a lot more options now, I think, being out of school. So it's kind of a mixture, to answer your question.
Yeah. I think one of the great things though about our short film was that, you know, for the short, the requirements of the program, you know, were that two people had to team up. And so so it was essentially just me and Sarah working on the short film, and we divided everything like down the line. So, you know, for certain scenes I'd do, camera, and then Sarah would do sound, and then we switched. And then even as far as editing, you know, we kind of divided the tasks in the beginning. So even as far as cutting, we did a couple of scenes and then we came together and, you know, we edited this short film together. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, with two people. I mean, it's hard doing it by yourself. And so with two people, and, I think the really great thing at the end of it was that we worked really well together. And, so at the core, even of the feature, I think we're playing on that strength of us working well together as a team and knowing that we have the skills to be able to, you know, expand the short into a feature. So that's a pretty exciting thing. But as Sarah also mentioned, we definitely want to, work with, you know, we have the possibility now to work with a lot of other people. So we're excited about that as well, since it's a much larger project. Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing, as we've kind of alluded to before, is funded right now through Kickstarter. And for people who don't know, this is a website where anyone can sign up, propose a project, and submit, I guess, a deadline and a kind of a money goal of how much money they want to raise. And if they raise that money in that amount of time they propose, then they get that money. And if they don't, you don't get any money. Is that right?
That's right.
And you two had a goal of $20,000 in 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 days to go. And as of right now, you had a goal of $20,000 and you have $20,001 right now. So a huge congratulations. It just happened today, actually. So perfect timing.
Yeah.
So you two must be thrilled. With 8 days to go, that's incredible. And congratulations to you too.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited because this is definitely going to get us on our way to China soon. But, you know, this is still just the beginning of our project. And we want to continue to film over the next year and a half as Ariel and Michael will go through the various stages of training and competing to qualify for the Olympics and then possibly go on to the Olympics. And so there's definitely, there's a lot of fundraising and a lot of shooting and a lot of everything ahead of us, but we're excited.
Mm-hmm. So your goal was already met, but people can still donate. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. People can still donate until our deadline, which is July 20th. And, you know, we're working with a pretty hefty budget at the moment, because of all the travel involved. You know, if Ariel and Michael go to London and the Olympic trials, which are in North Carolina this year. So we're working with a much larger budget than, you know, for a film that would kind of be just with a local subject. And so this $20,000 is definitely only a sliver of it. So we'd love, you know, as much as possible for that people can donate and help us and support us. You know, one thing that's really been great about Kickstarter that Sarah and I were just talking about was that, it's a great fundraising source, of course, but it's just been really nice to share this experience with a lot of other people. And so it's been nice to be able to share it with family and friends who are very curious as to what we're doing. So this gives them a very, like a tangible thing to see, oh, you know, they want to go on a couple shoots and now they need money. And it's kind of this group effort that's been really amazing, but we were able to share it with complete strangers as well. I mean, we've had a lot of people that we don't even know give us money. And it's this incredible feeling to know that people believe in us and believe in our project and that they want to see a film like this to be, you know, to be made, and we can start giving back already. And so that's been a really enjoyable part of it. And it's been really exciting actually to share it with, you know, all these folks out there. And even beyond Kickstarter, you know, all these people, like all our backers, it's kind of like they're now a part of our team. And so we fully intend to keep sending updates and kind of like, you know, have people tracking our progress and really sharing this whole experience until it's finished and until we get to share the completed project with everybody out there.
And like you mentioned, you'll probably need more money down the road. So I encourage everyone to still donate some money. Do you plan on doing another round on Kickstarter in the future? or how will you raise more money where people can help out down the road?
You know, it's possible, that we would, do another Kickstarter way down the line, maybe towards the end if we needed some finishing funds, but it's all a matter of, it's how things, develop with different various grants we've applied to for foundations and possibly partnering with, you know, a TV station or, you know, there's certainly various opportunities. In terms of people donating in the future, you know, we want to explore working with a fiscal sponsor so that people can, you know, donate to a nonprofit and then be able to have a tax write-off and stuff like that. So there'll definitely be opportunities, and, you know, we're gonna, after the Kickstarter campaign is over, we'll definitely keep putting out information on our website and ways that people can contribute.
Yeah, and we hope to have like really fun events, like fundraising parties where, you know, people can come out and play table tennis, and we'd like to explore other options and make it really fun and engage a lot of different people. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what's the final goal for this film? I mean, do you think you have a chance to have it released in theaters or have it shown on TV? What do you think? What's your final goal here?
I mean, I think our ultimate goal is we want as many people out there, you know, possible to see it. Mm-hmm. And because we think, you know, that there's a table tennis revolution brewing out there, and we want people to give the sport a chance, and we want the infrastructure in this country to be built so that everybody has a chance to play, and that you don't necessarily have to have a lot of money to get lessons and, you know, and to pay fees for all these other clubs. I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting venues right now that do afford people the opportunity to play. But, you know, we'd love for more tables to be built in parks, you know, so that it's like the basketball court, you know, down the street or something. And so, absolutely. I mean, if the opportunities arise where we can put it in theaters, and we'd love for it to be at film festivals, television. I mean, we want to be a part of this movement, and to really change people's perceptions about the sport. So definitely we want it out there, and explore our options online as well, since that's a whole audience, a whole new kind of audience to engage with. So we're hoping to maybe even develop like a website that could be really interactive. And so people can kind of track like how our film's going, but also there are so many other really interesting stories related to table tennis out there that we probably won't be able to cover in our film. And so we're hoping to spotlight these other people and other stories, you know, do maybe like webisodes, so that people can kind of see that it is really a much larger story out there than it's not just these two young teens who are, you know, trying to make it to the Olympics, that a lot of people out there are doing really interesting things related to table tennis.
Yeah. I mean, I love your enthusiasm for it and everything you said. I can't imagine any table tennis player out there disagreeing. I think we have two perfect people to help the sport, make a great film. And so how much longer do you plan to do shooting, and maybe when do you think you'll complete the project and have the film released approximately?
Well, we're certainly going to be shooting a lot, over the next year, and leading up to the Olympic trials, the first in February for US and then in April for North America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hopefully going on to the Olympics next summer. So there's definitely going to be shooting going on for the next year on and off. And then editing is something that is hard to say how long it will take, but our hope is to kind of do that in stages as well. And, you know, we'd really love to finished the film in like the winter, spring of 2013. And then from that point, you know, outreach is a whole nother, ball game, and, you know, trying to, you know, spread the word and get people to see the film and engage with the film is probably, you know, could be at least a year, if not more, many years after that. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of really exciting shoots and going to the Olympics and all that. That's, that sounds like a lot of fun, and, but I'm sure a lot of hard work too. So I'm really looking forward to this. I hope this will be maybe like the table tennis version of Hoop Dreams or something like that.
yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, like you mentioned, I think, the way table tennis is right now, it seems to be growing a little bit in popularity, and with things like you working on this project, learning about it through media and spin clubs and stuff like that. By the time this movie comes out, I think this could be like reaching a fever pitch, and having this film come out could be like put it over the top. That will really establish table tennis into the mainstream consciousness, I guess. Yeah. So I think you two are doing a great job. Like I said, this is the perfect way to share the sport with the rest of America and even the world, for people who don't know. So, I guess that's it. I'm thanks again for doing this. Is there any, website? I guess we should mention the website. That's, topspinmovie.com. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Any other websites? You have the Twitter.
We do. You can follow Top Spin on Facebook. It's Top Spin Movie, and Twitter as well. Top Spin Movie. So we'll be posting updates, and you can kind of track our progress and see how we're doing and where we are, and if how Ariel and Michael are doing.
Okay, sounds great. And I guess I usually end every interview with what I call a third ball attack. I'm sure you're familiar with that term by now. So here's three questions for you who don't play table tennis maybe seriously, but maybe you can recommend some of your favorite documentaries.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Well, you mentioned one of them already, Hoop Dreams. Uh-huh. Well, actually, two documentaries that are kind of, I guess, are some sources of inspiration for us: Hoop Dreams and Murderball.
Murderball, what's that about?
So Murderball was an Academy Award nominated, I don't think it won, I think it's mm-hmm. nominated film, mm-hmm. About wheelchair rugby.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about this. Okay.
And it's incredible, and it really kind of, represents the sport like on a new level, and it was really entertaining, really engaging, and interesting, and all those things. So definitely, you know, for all those sports fans out there, we should do like a sports theme. Mm-hmm. Two Escobars, which was a documentary for ESPN, that was an incredible film as well. It was about in Colombia, the soccer player who is murdered, and just kind of the stories about, and then it also tells the story of the drug lord there. And they both happen to have the name Escobar, so it's the Two Escobars, but a really intense film. And for football, soccer fans out there, they would know it very well, and it's a great film. Anything else?
I think those are three great ones.
Yeah.
Job.
Actually, that's a great point. I totally forgot that the ESPN did the 30 on 30 documentaries, and obviously I'd like to see this your film reach maybe in the theaters, but I'd also be floored if they do a table tennis related film, maybe if the ESPN did another 30 on 30 kind of thing in the future. That'd be incredible if you get two would be involved with that too. So so do you have maybe, I know it's been kind of you're still in the early stages, but have you had a favorite filmmaking related moment right now?
I guess it is a little early.
Maybe in the past week, I guess that would be your, you two seem pretty impressed with the ping pong diplomacy thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that all the events surrounding the 40th anniversary were really impressive. And, you know, we got to meet the mayor of San Francisco. You know, George Shultz from the Nixon administration was there speaking, and, you know, the look on Ariel's face, I think, when she got to play against her idol. Zhang Yining was like really priceless. I mean, this is somebody she grew up watching and had posters of on her wall, and she was just beaming with delight. So that was pretty cool.
I think the tree, it's been really fun to meet back up with Ariel and her parents after, I guess, almost a year, you know, since we last saw them or filmed with them, more than a year. And, she's just changed so much. And so, you know, to see her kind of growing, like, as a person and an athlete, all those things, I mean, that's been really, really great. And to know that we'll be following her for, you know, the next year and a half, I think we definitely look forward to that. And we'll have plenty of stories after.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to have you on in the future. When your completion, that'd be great. You two are, you're experiencing this with her during her formative years. So I'm sure that's something both of you will remember for a very long time. And, it's kind of paralleling like, hoop dreams in a way. Mm. And finally, I like to, when I do the interviews, I have music playing into the interview and out of it. So I ask people what song or artist inspires them when they start playing. Do you have any music you like listening to when you're getting ready to start shooting? Or maybe you can just mention a favorite song or artist. Yeah.
I don't know. But you're making me think we should come up with like a, you know, a pre-game.
We need
to. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah. No, it's good.
I don't know.
What have previous people, what do table tennis players like to warm up to?
So far, somebody mentioned a trance song and listen to rap, the pop song, it's been all over the board. I'm surprised. Bon Jovi. So maybe you'd say something like the theme music to Inception or something like moody theme music. So, all right. Again, I want to thank both of you. Like I said, I'm really excited about this, and I think anyone in table tennis really should back this. This is, you know, you check out the message forums. I've seen you two on there a little bit. I'm sure you read them. I mean, everyone's kind of always talking about how can we make it more popular? How do we get more money into it? How do we get more people involved? And I think this is the perfect solution. I mean, showing exactly everything that goes into the sport, and your enthusiasm for it and your passion for it and the work you've done so far. And it's already showing, you know, people are backing it, and I'm really excited to see what the film in the future. And good luck to the both of you. I'm sure it'll be really successful, and I can't wait. And thanks again for doing this.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that concludes the show. Another big thanks to Mina and Sarah. You can check out their webpage at kickstarter.com and help donate some money, help two filmmakers achieve their goals, as well as help promote the sport of table tennis. And, you know, I think they, as obviously they're not very serious players, but coming from a more casual perspective, they definitely get it and share the perception that people who have been playing table tennis for a long time have, which is getting the sport more popular and how to show the more competitive side of the sport. And I think this is actually an even better perspective because they came
from not a serious playing background, just from a casual side of watching more, and I think their fascination that drew them in is exactly that kind of vision that we want to share to help draw other people in. I think it's a great match here, and hopefully the Table Tennis community can get behind this and help out. So again, until July 20th, check out the webpage at kickstarter.com, search for Topspin, and I'll also link in the show notes. And by the way, at the end of that interview, I realized I didn't give them a chance to actually answer the music question. So I emailed them back and got their picks. Nina recommended Travis's All I Want to Do Is Rock. Sarah had two picks, and I went with her Grizzly Bear 2 weeks pick, probably my favorite pick so far doing the podcast. So, as usual, I'd appreciate to hear any of your feedback. You can email me at thepongcast@gmail.com. That's thepongcast @gmail.com. And I'd like to hear your comments, your questions, any show ideas, people you'd like to hear me interview, or maybe yourself would like to be on the show, something like to talk about. Please don't hesitate to contact me. And you can also follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. And I've got links to those on the homepage for the show. And if you happen to get this through iTunes, I appreciate it. You can leave a review. And big thanks to user FBP2 for leaving a review on iTunes. I appreciate it. Very nice of you. And so finally, as usual, tell your friends, tell your clubmates, and I'll see you next time.